Hardes, they say, Rabbi Akiva nichnas b'sholaim v'yotza b'sholaim. Correct? So the Sfarim ask, l'chayra, there's no reason to add the words nichnas b'sholaim, because the problem was in the Pardes. So the ones who lost their minds, Heitzitz v'nivka, whatever it is, that's because they were in the Pardes. Before they entered into the Pardes, they didn't have any of these problems. So the Chiddush should be Rabbi Akiva Yotza b'sholaim. What's this nichnas b'sholaim? Why does it have to add nichnas b'sholaim? So the Bali Musa say no. That it's only because he was nichnas b'sholim that he was yotze b'sholim. In other words, the b'sholim there doesn't mean that he was safe and sound and he was healthy. It means he was spiritually healthy. He was complete. He was a person that was capable of entering into the paradise. A lot of times later on you wonder, why did something go wrong? The answer is, it's not that that went wrong. The person entered into it wrong. I'll give you a very good mashal, and it's unfortunately a very true mashal. People have expectations of a marriage. You enter, there's an expression, you enter into marriage. People have expectations in marriage. Most of the time, those expectations are fraudulent. They are inappropriate. Imagine a person goes into a marriage with the idea that the tachlis of this marriage, as many of the Sfarim write, is to give to others. It's unlikely that he's going to have any problems. It's unlikely that he's going to have any problems. However, if somebody comes with the expectations that es kumt mir das and es kumt mir das, and this is what she has to provide, this is what he has to provide, the versteht sich that things will go wrong. But it's not because they went wrong, it's not because they turned sour, it's because the havamina was not correct. A person approaches a shtickle gemara with the wrong understanding of the first few lines. Then from then on and forever, in the whole sugya, he may be crumb. A person goes off, the ship goes off a little bit on an angle. You know that famous word at the beginning, you don't even notice it. Later on, you see you're miles away from your target. You never got to where you were supposed to go, your port of destination. So something went wrong in the middle? Nothing went wrong in the middle. It's how you started. The nichnas b'sholim, the yotza b'sholim, is because there was a nichnas b'sholim. Oh, that's a different story. If we would be learning that sugya, I would try to answer that question. The point is, though, that it's very important to know that sometimes, later on you say, what happened? It's not what happened, it's who you are. It's where you started out. It's what your havaminas were. And it's very important to know that, because a lot of times when we try to fix things, we're not fixing the main problem, which is, what was your hasaga, and why was it that way that you could have such a hasaga? And was the hasaga legitimate? You know, I always say that the Rambam says at the end of Perek Tezvav, Filchas Ishus, the responsibility is Tzivu Chachamim for the Ish, and Tzivu Chachamim for the Isha. So I tell people that very often I go to Masada Kiddush, and I ask the Chosen Kalit to come to me beforehand, and I tell them a little bit about this Rambam and what the Rambam's implications are. And I tell the Chosen very clearly what his obligations are. Tzivu Chachamim, that the husband should be this and this and this. And then the next halacha, Tzivu Chachamim, that the wife, I tell it to her. Once I had a Maisa that she comes to me, and she says that he's not this, and he's not this, and he's not this, and she's chazering over every word of the Rambam about him. So I said, you're not supposed to read what it says about him. You're supposed to read what it says about you. And he'll read what it says about him, and then everything will be b'sholem. But if you read Alocha, Yud, and you read Alocha Yud Aleph, it's going to be Moshe Kapaya. Then it's all what he's supposed to do, and all what she's supposed to do, and she's not doing it, and he's not doing it. And then Tashteitzach, that's not Nichnas b'sholem. So anyhow, this is not the Pardes anyhow that we're talking about. We're talking about Pirush, Drash, Remez, and Soit. So we pointed out in the Gra that the four Mekoymos of the ear indicate to us, Al Pi HaGra, how distant we really are from the Inyan of Soit. And I just want to add something. There's a certain lack of sensitivity in many aspects of Yiddishkeit, Bizman Hazeh. There's a debasing of things. a lack of kedusha and a lack of respect, including the simplest things like bate knesios or bate midrashos. If anyone had any respect, there could be no talking in a shul b'chlal. Not shayach. When you walk into the palace of the king, you're struck with awe. It's true when somebody does the same thing over and over again. Even have a gemara like that. The gemara says that the entree of an eved lifnei melech is different than the entree of a sar lifnei melech. The eved sees the underbelly. The eved is there all the time and in all circumstances. But afal pi kein, when you walk into a shul and you treat it like it would be a warehouse, there's a lack of sensitivity. There's a tremendous lack of sensitivity to the Torah, to the chefetz of the Torah. And it's manifest in Be'ikar, Bizman Hazeh, in the absurdity of people fishing around in Inyone Kabbalah when they basically cannot make out a Rashi and Chumash. And this is a disaster. Now I have to admit that I am not a Chosid. I am a Misnagit. I'm a Litvak. My parents come from Vilna. Both of them. Imagine. So Lemaisa, I don't have that... That hergish that you have to have a bit of Kabbalah in every shtickel Torah that you learn. And the Hasidish Sfarim, by and large, if you don't know any in Yoni Kabbalah, you can hardly read them. You have to skip over a great deal of it. Because every once in a while, every five lines, you will encounter something that has to do with Kabbalah. But you have to understand, the Hasidish Mahalach requires that you should go to the mikveh every day. The Hasidish Mahalach requires that you should be more than anything else an Eved Hashem. Everything else is ancillary. Everything else is secondary. The avoida that you do in Hasidus, if you're an Emes Chosid, you're always thinking about your responsibility to the Ribbono Shel Olam. All right, so that's already a madrega that's not poshut. And if you are on that madrega and you had the proper training in your home and in your yeshiva and you had rebbeim that gave you an insight into these inyonim that you were able to start learning such svarim, mela. But for a person to take out, you know, they take it even now today in English translation and this is this and this is that, and yet it becomes an expert. I had nearly a heart attack once. What was it? Somebody comes over to me and he starts talking to me about certain very heavy-duty in Yoni Kabbalah. So I said to him, I'm amazed that you are involved in these things, but tell me, which sforum did you look these things up? What sforum did you consult? So he says, I didn't consult any sforum, I looked it up on the Wikipedia.
Oh my.
So I told him, the Wikipedia? The Wikipedia, could you imagine? This world is coming to. This is an online encyclopedia. And it has everything in the world because people contribute to it. And somebody wrote up in Yoni Kabbalah also. You can find there anything. You can find a recipe how to cook cholent also. You know, there's nothing that you can't find over there. Oh, but Lemaisa, it's making a churban of Yiddishkeit, I want you to know. It's making a churban of Yiddishkeit. A person has to know that there's the ear, and there's the sha'ar ha'ir, and then there is the next level, which is rechayv ha'ir, and then there's chutzos. And we also have to know that just like those four places, one is very distant from the other, the coil that comes out of the Torah from that pardes is so distant that in the most remote, which is the pirush level, you don't really comprehend anything. You can hardly hear anything. You just hear the echo of a sound. Could you imagine? That's the image. And Pirush is Pirush. If you know Pirush, you're terrific. So imagine a person knows Pirush and then he says, oh, I'm ready for sight. What are you talking about? Where do you have a shaykhus to any of this? So you have to be very, very careful. So that's one of the yesoidis that I wanted to come out of this hergesh of the kedusha satira and of the extraordinary breadth of Torah, the spread that you can have from the center of the ear. It goes all the way out, which is Said, goes all the way out to the chutzais, where you can hardly hear the cut. This idea of the Gra we'll come back to in a few moments. But I wanted to show you something very interesting. We speak about playing with the Torah. Playing with the Torah. Now, you know, when we were children, we had all kinds of games. We opened up the Chumash, and how many pages was it till the Parsha? And could you find the Pei? Could you find the Samach? And we were children, you know, Mishpilzach. So somebody once said, you know, you can't play with the Torah like that. You can't be medaftif a Chumash, Stam and the Veltarayim. So one of the parents that was there, that was watching this at the table in shul, you know, Shal Shudas time, whatever it was, when the kids were playing, so he says, what, you'd rather they should play ball on Shabbos? So better they should do this. So I wanted to show you a Sefer Chassid, the section of Pardes. In the Sefer Chassidim, Simon Tafresh Mem Dalet. Ahoylechim hatoivim apopi she'encha yodea ma beliboy tachriyeu lekapschus. If you're with somebody that is a decent person, a good person, and you see something that you have a suffix, what is that hanhoga, what is that behavior, be dan him lekapschus. So what is he talking about? So he continues and he says as follows. Maise echad omar libnoi. Madua holachta achare habachurim haperitzim. Why are you chasing after the bachurim haperitzim? Yeah. Amaloi lokachti chavli chachomim. Mishachtim al tachas kamfe ashchino. Ki ra'isi shoyu chafetzim lischoik bekuvio. I took the Torah approach, and I try to bring them closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to his Torah, because I saw that they were ready to play cards. They were ready to play card games. Amar Dulehem, Tischaku B'Psukim, better you should play with Psukim. Mi Sheyoymar Posuk Shesoyfei Aleph. And this was the game at that time. Whoever can say a Posuk that ends in an Aleph, so the next one will have to say a pasuk that begins with aleph. V'chein al kol ois ve'ois. U'mi shelo yimtza yafsid. And who's the loser? Who gets out of the game? The one who can't find the next pasuk. Yet, Hari Osisi, what did I accomplish? Shalom dim taira. V'amru chachomim mekarvan la taira. And the chachomim said, Havei mi talmidav shel aharayim. Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom, Oyev es Abriyos, Umakarva Latira. So he says, look what I accomplished. Instead of playing cards, I got them to play with Psukim. It's a Givaldik. Omalei Oviv, Ad Shebosa Limshaych, Vinimshachta, Vinilkadita, Bechavli Shov, Uba Voisois Hachatos. He says, you think you're doing something wonderful. You're taking away from the card playing, and they're playing with Psukim, and that's how you're being Mekarev them L'Taira. But you should know that you're doing a terrible thing. Ki lemadetem divrei Torah, lemadetom, you taught them, divrei Torah l'hisloitz etzbohem v'lischaik. Right? He says, what you accomplished is that you made a game, a letzanos, out of the Torah. That was his taina back to his son. So he says, "Ma v'zeka paroscha al telech b'derech itam yosef." He says, "Your kapara is number one. Don't hang around with them. Bechlal, don't go with them ever again." Val ois v'ois sheyotza mipiem. Listen to this. And every ois of the pasuk aleph and beis that you know that in the game sheyotza mipiem. Tzarich oita aniyos oimais laniyim. He takes it so seriously that he says, "How's a chayim brudol? Either the fast, or you give tzedakah." She'ein lohem b'mela askim alamdim libneim. Which kind of aniyim? People, why? It's not stam giving tzedakah. In order to produce more Torah, because since you were mezalzel in Torah, you have to produce more Torah as a kapar. How are you going to produce more Torah? Banim that cannot afford a malamed for their children, and memela their children are bereft of Torah, give them money to pay for malamdim, and be moisif the harbotzas Torah in their families. Bamej lahaskil malamdim libneim v'tigroim sheyilmedu kineged masha chotosa oisam ilamdun v'tzarech atolilmoid laoisam shelo yodulilmoid kegoin ktanim, and you yourself also should be a malamed to little children who haven't started learning yet, and through all that measure of habotzas Torah, that will be your kapara v'yiskaper. It's unbelievable.
What's he supposed to do? Just let them hang out?
That's a good question. Let's first. I want to take a look at the Bris Olam for a minute and the Chidah, and then we'll maybe discuss your point. Because let's go here. Tisachaku b'psukim l'fum riyato nireh the mashukosav rabbeinu d'yesh l'fakpek al mashenoyegim talmidei chachomim me'ein dugma b'lishoynes ha'gemara l'fi shenoagu la'atzis l'fnei g'doylim b'doyer shofaneinu ve'ein moiche yesh l'lam itzchus. He says like this. The Sefer Chassidim is so strong against this idea of picking an aleph and then another pasuk with an aleph and then making a game out of it. What about Gedolim that started that said, "I'll tell you daf mem beis amid aleph the first word, and you tell me daf mem beis amid beis the first word"? Isn't that also a game? A game with the Torah? So he says, "The loydami mashikos of Rabbeinu b'psukim leminig zeh b'lishoynis haTalmud." Or somebody will ask, you know, where does it say chesurim echzer v'ochi katani? You know, you get 10 points for every chesurim echzer v'ochi katani that you could mention in Shas where it is.
That's a memory. That's 45.
So so let's see how he answers the question. Chada. The benid and rabbeinu ha'yiroitzim liyos misachakim b'kuvya. And instead of being a plus that he took them away, he says, because when he answered them, rather than play with cards, play with psukim. So that lashon to tell them to play with psukim, when gedolim compete with one another in the yediyah satira, they're not suggesting that it's a game. V'amalei tesachaku b'psukim v'zeh asur ki lo kuzeh l'schoik b'mokim l'sachik b'kuvya, because they treated it as a game. V'oid the asu zeh b'psukim v'zehu ikar toyer shebiksav v'al kol posuk yesh boi pardes minim miminim shoinim, means pardes levels of interpretation. V'zeh yodua u'mefursa that Talmud Chacham may oilam loy sachaku b'shum schoik, k'day shenoymar sheyal olohem zeh b'makom schoik. These Talmid Chachamim don't play games, and it's not a suggestion that they're using this as a substitute for a game that they would otherwise play. V'oid, dal harayv heim lishni ba'alma, v'haynu da'amri inshi v'kayotze, ashab shotam moshul u'melitza, hagam shebetalmud gam ken kol dibu v'dibu yesh boi pardes, loy noida kol kach. That's what you said before for their memory. So Bekitzer, he says at the end, very interesting, we have all kinds of games today that are meant to replace the games that are nonsense games and waste of time games and maybe even teaching wrong midos games. So you tell a person you can play with brachas cards or you can play Monopoly. Which one should you play? So interesting, but the point is still well taken. You can many times the takona is a kalkol. The takonosai kalkolosai. A lot of times it's a gather of not appreciating the damage done in the fixing itself. So it all is left to the ein l'dayon elamasha ein avroyes. You have to assess a situation and you have to examine the consequence of the situation. And not every tool is available for Talmidei Chachamim, for Ovdei Hashem. Because the end hardly ever justifies the means. In Yiddishkeit, the means itself is a yesod. And if you cannot do something properly, the consequences of what damage might occur from not doing is not always a heter to do things that are not appropriate. You cannot say play with sukkah. Those words cannot come out of a person's mouth. And the understanding that these people had when they played with the psukim is not what one might suspect. It says, after all, in the Gemara, right, that a person should learn shaloi lishma, shemitok shaloi lishma, bo lishma. So why don't we extend that idea? So you see how careful you have to be from the Sefer Hasidim. Not always possible to extrapolate on our own. Extrapolate, I mean, meivin dover mitoich dover. Since it says mitoich shaloi lishma ba lishma, let me get rid of the misachik bekuvia, which is a very terrible thing. It's a total waste of time, and it's a mosh of leitzim. Let me get them a little bit closer to the Torah. Maybe if they hold the Torah in their hand and the Chumash once in a while, they'll even pay attention to the psukim and learn the Rashi. The answer is maybe. You have to ask Reb Chaim Kanievsky such a question. You understand what I mean? You can't stop paskin on your own because it's so logical and it's so pashut. It's not logical and it's not pashut at all. And you see that the Sefer Hasidim says it's a terrible thing. He says you should fast and give tzedakah and be marbitz Torah for the chasaron and the korban that you made of kedusha satayra. Amazing thing. Interessant nezach.
I saw Rabbi Finkelman. So someone gave. A bracha came over him and wanted to show him a bar Torah printed off the internet. I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. Right, it's mayayin, you know, depends where something comes from also. Now, there's one other thing that I wanted to learn with you, which is very beautiful. And that's the Sava Kabbalah. Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg was in the time of the Gra, from the Gra's Cheder. And he quotes the Gra in the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah very often. The Ksava Kabbalah is a very unusual pirush on Chumash. And a lot of times its pirush is based on Inyonik Dikduk. But I wanted to learn this shtickle with you because it's really just very beautiful. He wants to know what's so important about the fact that the Luchais... What's so important that the Luchais are called Luchais Avonim? Why does the Torah keep emphasizing? And it's very interesting. The Torah calls the Luchais Luchais Ha'edus. The Torah calls Luchais Luchais Ha'Bris. But even when it calls it Luchais Ha'edus and Luchais Ha'Bris, which obviously Ha'edus the testimony, and Bris the covenant, what could be more important than that? The Torah keeps emphasizing, even in the same context, Luchais Ha'Eved. Luchais Ha'Eved, Luchais Ha'Bris, it says. Was ist also wichtig zu wissen, Luchais Ha'Eved? Yesh lives beinim. Amma sheherzir kamo po'omim beparsha zu shal Luchais ha'yu shal avonim. Ki ma lonu im ha'yu shal eid so im atochais. What's the difference? What material the Luchais were made from? Ki tachlis kavonosoi kan, loichicham shebavoinoisam gormu ishtabrus haluchais. This is from the Pasuk in Dvarim of the Shviras Haluchais in Parshas Ekev. So we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he breaks the Luchais, and there it emphasizes again Luchais Avon. So he says, what's the difference what it was made from? The Iker is that it was broken, it was smashed. You can break wood, you can break metal, you can cut metal. What's the point? Why the emphasis Avon? If you want to mention something about the Luchais, speak about what makes the Luchais special. Give it a shevach, for example, which he says, what is a praise for the Luchais, what makes them special, hamagdil yoiker erkom, which makes them more valuable, kagon luchos ha'edus and luchos ha'bris. Clifford would have said, apparently, Luchais of sapphire stone or something like that. Maybe we could understand that he wouldn't have such a kasha. But it says Luchais Heaven, and Heaven, there are pebbles all over the place. Pebbles on Shabbos, on Bukhazak. What's special about Luchais Heaven as Medav Keseda Daman, and you have to always remember Heaven. Yeah, but that's his point. That's what I just said. The point is that the Pasuk doesn't say that it was very expensive. He wants to know the lashon of the pasuk. What is it emphasizing over here? For example, ufitato isam shmeis bnei Yisrael, aydem pitada barekes neifach sapin yalim. You talk about sapin yalim. But if you say heaven, heaven could be, well, like I said, a pebble in the street is an heaven. So what is the inyan that the word heaven is so important? What's he trying to say? He says like this: Amnam eichus chaimram shahayu shal heaven. She'ein bazeh shum hisnasus v'chashivus litzdayer ba'avoidam. Ma'aloy lahachbul kol kach. He says the simplest even, you don't even bother losing it because you can find it elsewhere. It has no value, really. What is the point, luchos even? It's almost like he's saying, why do you degrade it? Don't mention it altogether. Or talk about how expensive it was. But what are you saying, luchos even? So he says like this. Now he eats more. Ubiyoyse yesh lahaktim. Kol pam luchis even luchis edus ubris. Vein me'aroy lahaktim hatofel oikar. He says it's so important that you mention luchis even before you mention luchis ubris. In the same pasuk, in the same context, luchis edus, luchis even. Why luchis even before luchis edus? Lachein nirali. She'ein shame even be'inyan zeh. Al chaymer haluchis v'gashmiyusam shtein. You know, he has it in the old Germanic Yiddish shtein, but shtein is shtein in Yiddish, plain Yiddish. Aval in yonai kiloshein misham roya even Yisrael. At the end of Parshas Vayechi, in right, she amru boy baalei haloshein shehoi ra'osai hayisoid ha'ikari shel protov urshtov. The material that is at the foundation of everything is also called Evan. So he says, Luchos ha-Evan are the foundation Luchos. That's how he interprets Evan. Very interesting pshat. Ki mahus ha-Evan hu kibbutz chelkei choyl she'es achadu boi liyos etzem echod. Kocha yisoid kol dovor sheprotov klulim umisatzmim boi lisachet imoy nikra even. Whenever something comes to its complete whole, that is the aggregate of all of the composite elements, that's called even. So he says, of course, what was on the luchos? Aseres hadibros. Everybody knows that by the Sfardim, we don't do that for some reason, but by the Sfardim, they spend a good deal of shvuos saying what is called azhoros. Did you ever hear of that? Azhoros. Azharot. What are the azhoros? The azhoros are piyutim that show how all of the taryag mitzvahs are included in the aseres hadibros. That's called azhoros. And the azhoros of Shlomim Gaviral and others, there are azhoros, Reb Sadia Goyen. The azhoros are a way of expanding the foundation principles of the aseres hadibros. And everybody says that in the aseres hadibros is included kol ha-Torah kulo. So he says that's why it's called Evan. V'liyos sh'aseres hadvarim heim yisoid ha'ikari shulchol taryag mitzvahs ki kulam niskapsim misachdim bahem k'mo shekosav rashi soy parshas mishpatim for etnach ha'lachuluchas ha'evan and an chorus al haluchas lochein karam luchas evan kloima luchas sh'aleyem yisoid kol ha'mitzvahs. Very interesting pshat, but it's just beginning. V'hine that every pasuk has many different interpretations. Kakosuv achas diber likim shtayim zushamanu. For amru kol dibur v'dibur sheyotze mipiak vura nechlak l'shivim l'shoynos. Kakosuv bepatish kepatish yefoytze tzela. K'moisha ha-tzela, like the stone, like the rock, is mischalik al yedei hapatish, when you smash it with the hammer, with the axe, lekamon itzaitzais, it splinters into many pieces. Kein kol dibur v'dibur mischalik lekam upon him. Ayin sham Rashi toisus. Va'aton is binding the next paragraph. El isyaksus v'dimyoin sheyesh lehitzpaitzitzus ha'avonim im haponim ha'mischalkos bekavonos mikrois ha'toyra. Now he's going to tell you a whole long mashal about the following point. that since Chazal understood the imagery of taking a stone and smashing it with a hammer and it splinters into many pieces as the imagery of Torah, which each pasuk and each thought of Torah splinters into many, many multifarious pshatim, so he wants to go deeper into that mashal and give it more substance. What exactly do we mean by that mashal? Of kepatish, a hammer, yefoitzet sela, breaks the stone, splinters the stone. So he says like this, there are four kinds of stone. Or you could categorize stone into four different categories. Now, once you mention the word four, already what are we, where are we headed?
Hardness,
exactly. So he says, Nizbonin al Isyachsu, the last two lines. Ki arba mine avonim aim shemishalfin zemize bechoizek bekoishi, ad shemisibosam mishtanim zemize beinyan hispeitsutsam, vekoyach adoicha anitzrach litzpeitsutsus vispardus. This Evan, and there are four categories of such avonim, different avonim. What's different about them? He says, what's different about them is, when you bang them, how much force do you need to make anything happen? There are different levels of force depending upon how hard the rock is. Furthermore, how does it splinter? You know, once you succeed in banging it successfully, how does it break apart? So he says again, these four different types of avonim have different reactions. It takes different force and they have different reactions. So this is what he says. Yeah. Min evan ze eno maspik lepirud vispoitzitzus min acher min avonim. Each one of the minim of avonim that I'm going to now describe requires a different force and has a different reaction. He says, kocha arba aponim haklolim sheyeshnam b'toyre pardes. In the same way that you have this imagery of breaking up the stone, that there are four different variations, in the same way exactly, we understand that Torah breaks up into four different madregas called pirush, remez, drash, and soit, pardes. Machlofim heim ze mizeh b'koishi toichen v'oimek kavonosam hapnimis. They are also like different kinds of stones in their density and in their complex makeup and their hardness to break apart. So too, pardes has four different levels of complexity and difficulty of comprehension. So he says, that's how I started this year. You can't start with Kabbalah like it's some sort of a toy. You know, I have an idea. Kabbalah. You know, a person doesn't know how to say a pasuk properly, and he never heard of three quarters of the psukim in Tanakh, and when he's called up to the Torah, and there's no Baal Koyre, so he leans and he chops up every word and makes a churban, and he's studying Kabbalah. So he says that the hardness of the stone, in the same way as the difficulty and the amount of ishtadlus that goes into comprehending it. And the level of ishtadlus that will work for one level of Torah will not be sufficient even if you apply that measure of ishtadlus. You did ishtadlus, but the ishtadlus that you need, when they talk about ishtadlus, not talking like ishtadlus and parnasa. He means ishtadlus, the amount of yigiyah and amelus that you put into it, but it has to be a different level of yigiyah and amelus. It's not pshat that I approach everything with the same level of yigiyah and amelus, but it's different things I learned at different ages in my life, at different stages in my learning. It's not like that, he says. He says, even the effort itself has to be multiplied. So then he says, "Vizet echod me'arba mine avonim hu nikra stam b'shem Evan. One Evan is called Evan. V'sharoshe ben loshen binyan. He says the shayrish of the word Evan is beis nun, which in its ikar is binyan. You know, bain. You know, bra karadabua binyan. V'heim avnei hasoda. What is the plain Evan? The basic Evan. Evan number one." These are the regular stones that you find that you make stone houses out of and so on. V'hein murkavos min chol v'ofar. L'chein nikroim avnei chol. Zandsteine. Sandstone. So he said, V'hein b'shamchim l'avnei rechayim l'mashkoi ful mezuzois u'l'shar tashmishim b'binyan. U'l'fi'a kovotsam zois noichos hein l'shtaber u'l'spotsitz al yidei koyach hadoicha b'hem bapatish. Take a hammer and you can break up the sandstone. 1, 2, 3. L'chein ba'eis she yispotsitzu ein chelkeyem nitozim erochok. When something breaks easily, since you don't have to apply that much force, so the amount of reaction is less, and the mela, the stones break up in its place, and they don't fly. They don't go flying. Because the amount of pressure that you're applying is much less, and the mela, they simply disintegrate on the spot. You take a hammer, you give it a zetz, and all of a sudden it suddenly falls apart. It falls apart. It doesn't go flying. That's what he says. So not only is the pressure different, but this makeup of the thing results in the consequence of the pieces falling right next to each other. The fish ain't chalke akavasam adukim kol kach becholzek yachova offer shebahem nifrodim zemizebekalus, because it's easy for the parts, the particles that this stone is made up, the sandstone, to disintegrate with one bang. Ularakaisam mucharisem biyosel achzubahem oisiyos ushar tsurois, and because of that, it's very easy to carve out in the sandstone whatever it is that you want, what pictures or letters you want to make, if you're writing in the stone. This, of course, is not politically correct anymore. People who have a weak capacity, like women and children, they are on this level no less than people of great knowledge. Because a person's learning on the simplest level does not preoccupy himself with the sophistication of what the psukim are saying, and the male is not going to look why precisely this lashon, and why is this lashon repeated with a synonym, and on, because all they're interested in is Hashem spoke to Moshe, Vaydaba Hashem, I Vaydaba, and something says Vayikra, and something says Vayomer. This does not interest them, because they're just interested, push it in the simplest level, and when they break the thing apart, it breaks apart right on the spot. You know, there's no sophistication. So he says, for example, you have a pasuk that's mole, a pasuk that's chaser, with a vav, without a vav, with a yud, without a yud. So they're not going to pay any attention to that because they know what the pasuk means, and that's the end of it. Al kol elo lo yosim balapshat ein hashkochosay. He's not going to pay attention. Ki lo yishma rakat ha'amim mibli liyachet kavono inyan nirtza l'chola shinuya mishinuya hadibu v'aloshen. There's no sophistication in the analysis of the language or of the precision of that language. He says, and in the same way that you have little hishtadlus, you have little comprehension. So when you don't need that much comprehension, a little bit of hishtadlus goes a long way. But that's about it. Because whatever hishtadlus he put in will never allow him to go any deeper. Ki lo yeida rak hadvarim kemashmon, v'lo yeired lo oimek kavonas hamikra. Doim el avnei hasoda, asher lekalus hitzbitzoisusam, gam chalkeyem einam nitozim l'meirachoyk. The same way that it's easy to break it up, the pieces don't go very far. What's his imagery that the pieces go far? That you have a deeper comprehension that extends elsewhere. Lahavin davar mitoch davar. The superficial understanding is exactly that. And there's no lahavin davar mitoch davar. And memelu, you are just on the spot. On the spot. Hamin hasheni min avonim anikra sela. The first one was called Evan Stan. Now it's called Sela. Sela is a felts. Felts is also a Yiddish word. Sheyesh boy echus sidiyi v'nikroyim avnei sid. Kalksteiner. Kalk. You know what kalk is. Chalk. It has a certain makeup which has some substance and some strength to it. They're not as sponge-like, they don't absorb, they are harder and more opaque. You need a good sets to break them up. And lesibazu, and because of this, the pieces will go flying. Because when you have to give a good sets and the pieces don't necessarily fall apart and disintegrate, then of course they will go action, reaction, physics, they will go flying in the opposite direction. So he says, because the parts are very, very tight knit. We're already up to a stone that's hard and that falls apart, goes flying, and we're only up to drash. Imagine what imagery he's going to have for sight. He's going to try to analyze Mosnei Tzedek, the scales of understanding. He's going to analyze each expression, each word. The Torah did not write something stam, like just by coincidence. It's not a piece of literature that's just there to inspire you with the beauty of its language. And it's not for naught that sometimes a word is with a yud and sometimes the same word is without a yud. Sometimes it's with a vav and sometimes it's without a vav. There's a specific reason why the Torah uses a certain word, or a certain expression, which are similar one to the other. Why does it use this expression here and another expression similar, but not the same there? The Vilna Gaon does that all the time. You know, always matching up and telling this is what this means and this is what this means. And they're very similar, and we could easily say Kefala Inyan B'milim Shainais. It's just a redundancy to strengthen your understanding. When you repeat something, you understand it better. But if you repeat something verbatim, you get bored. So therefore, it repeats it with a slightly different set of words, synonyms. The Gaon said, no, it doesn't work like that. If the Torah uses another word, it has a very precise desire to convey an extra meaning. And there is no such thing as saying the same thing in different language to make you happy. You know, to make you less bored. You have to learn each and every phrase that it has a purpose in the tachlis, and if it's not the same words, it means the purpose in the tachlis is slightly different. And that's what he says. And when the Torah does not want to elaborate, it will use a certain lashon in a subtle way, and we have to figure it out. Im lav asakitzur, if because the Torah wants to make it short, oy letachlis acheres, or for some other reason, that it hides the surface a little bit deeper below. What happens if you have something that's not so comprehensible? They shouldn't think that this is an accident or that something, you know, went wrong with the words of the Torah. We're talking about something that's divine. Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes hides something that he does not want to say elaborately and on the surface, and he uses the language of the Torah to do that and create that effect, that you have to dig a little bit deeper and you have to have a better comprehension and you have to have a bigger madrega of hasaga and you have to have learned already other things as well to be able to reach that point. And then he says, the last two lines, shekol dibur midivrei Torah heim imrois tahayrois umzukakos, v'asheyikra zor etzel hamedaktik. Whatever appears strange to the person who's medaktik, who etzel hadoyresh leinyon neos, what appears odd to somebody who's not doyresh, the pasuk, suddenly appears to be full of tam and gishmak to the person who is doyresh. because suddenly you see things in a different light entirely. We made a siyum the other day. Reb Ezra's son actually made a siyum, Shalashudas. It was a beautiful event. So someone got up afterwards and he said, you know something? The Vilna Gaon looked at the word siyum and he said that the word siyum is a remarkable word. What's remarkable about the word siyum different than any other word? He says, take the word samach. How do you write samach? Samach mem chof. Take the first letter, the letter that you see when you look at the page, samach. What's the gematria? 60. What's mem chof? 60. Take the word yud. What's the letter that you see? Yud. What's the gematria of yud? 10. What's vav dalet? 10. Take the word vav. Vav is vav vav. So obviously, vav is 6, and the vav after it is 6. Mem, same thing. Mem is mem mem. So mem is 40, mem is 40. So the Vilna Gaon says that Tapuchei Zav Maski Eis Kosev will have it soon. Dova Dover Alofnov. The Pasuk and Mishlei. That the Torah's remez and the drash and the soid has to be completely consistent with the pshat. No stiris. And he says that that's the pshat, that what you see on the surface is also below the surface. The yud is a vav dalit also the same. The samach is a mem chav also the same. And in each letter is of siyum. Why? Because when you finish something, so you have the underneath it, it's all over again. So it's a very beautiful idea. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? The simplest thing sometimes when you start looking at it with the eyes of somebody on that madrega has oitzris and oitzris of beauty and of meaning. That's what he's trying to say. So he says, Kocho loy nofal midivrei elokim chayim dover al tzarak krivis damein. There's no such thing as accident or coincidence. Belazet sarich elishtadlus gedoyle la'ayin al kol milo milov al kol ois v'ois v'gam al kol koitz v'koitz ad boy al oimik hamachuvan shbam. Hinei koyach ishtadlus ha'iyun b'derech zeh kocha gam koyach hasogas oimik inyona doyme l'sela asher l'koyshi yitzpoy tzitzusoy gam chalokov nitozim l'meirachoyk. He says, who is going to arrive at such a comprehension that he's able to see a nuance, whether there's a yud in the word or not, whether there's a vav in the word or not, or whether this particular expression is used or a different expression, whether it's by Yikra, by Yadaber, by Yoimer. So a person on the surface is going to say, it means he said, and go weiter. But the person who looks deeper into it, he's going to require much more hishtadlus to figure it out. So the comprehension spreads more knowledge in the same way that the zets on the sela, because you need a zets, will make the stones fly much further than the sandstone, which you just give a little blow and it simply falls apart right at underneath your feet. What already can go beyond that? Amin hashlishi min avonim hu anikra tsur. So you have Evan, you have Sela, and now you have Tsur. Tsur, the fourth one is Chalomish. Right? Yeah. So Tsur Vein, Tsur Kelukenu, Tsur, Tsur Olamim, Tsur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezus Yisrael, Hu Yoyse Kosha V'Chozak Min HaSela, Hu Min Even HaBilti Murkav Min Chol V'Ofar, Afloy Michalokim Sidiyim, Ki Im Min Chelke Ofar Bulvad, Elo Shah Ofar Ahu Einoy Ochur V'Choshuch Kishar Ofar, Aval Hu Zach Mitzuchzach. It's a very pure kind of offer, Umareyu Ke'en Keren Ashur, and the Nikra Evan Karni Horner Tigerstein. It's a stone that looks like the horn of the horn of a shore. Sheesh boy gam klifin kamoshamotsi bekerin hashore. It's a streaked kind of stone. It's a striated stone. V'nikra tzur al shem shechelkei akavaso tzerurim. They're very bound up one with the other. V'yoyser v'l'choyze kishuyoy efshar sheyushchaz v'la'asoy seichad v'charev kisakin. It's a flint stone. The kind of stone that you can take and make into a sharp knife. The early kalim that we had were those kind of knives that were made from sharpened stone, and that's what Tzipora took to cut off the erla from her son in Parsha Shmos. Gam evshalash chizoy achloi tia pegima kolika. You can sharpen it to such an extent that it doesn't even have a nick or a scratch. K'mashikosu b'kol shoychtin b'tzar. It says in the perek of b'kol shoychtin, right? You can be shoychet in shechting a behema. You have to be very careful that the chalif, the knife, that's made of course of metal, is perfect and it doesn't have any pegimas. And if it does, you check it with your fingernail, and now you have to have a mumcha to be able to do that, with great sensitivity. And if there's a pegima, the animal is treif. So if that's the case, how can you do it with a stone? And it says in the Mishnah that you could be shaykhed with stone as well. Because stone is possible that you should sharpen it and hone it to such an extent that it does not have any pegimas either. So that's the proof that he's bringing from Shechita, that this is what you can do with such a stone. And obviously with sandstone and with the Sela stone that we're talking about before, you cannot do that. Hine, despite its Evan Hatzor, Tzricha Hakko, Bekoyach Yoise Godel, Vchozok, Meispoitzitzus Hasela, Kocho Haponim Hashlishi Shebatoira Hanikra Remes, Vishtadlus Ion Vederach Zehu Al Roshe Hatevois, Vesoife Hatevois, Sirufam, Umisporum, Al Oisios Rabosois Uzeirois, where there's a big letter, Shema Yisrael is a big ayin, the Echor is a big dalit. What do you do with all of these? So there are remozim in the Torah. And the remozim are much harder to arrive at authentically than even the drash. So it creates a greater need for hishtadlus. So the hishtadlus for this has to be godol mizeh. He says a person to be able to achieve the level where he is permitted, I might add, the word permitted, to create remozim, requires a very deep comprehension of Torah, where he's able to see things that other people couldn't even notice. So the idea that drash is such a demanding thing, he has remes is even more demanding, and again there's another level of Evan, harder, and the splinters fall further as a result because you need a bigger zetz. So what could be more than that, of course? Sight. V'amino revi, mino avonim ho nikro chalomish. That's diamond. There's a kind of hardness that's on the level of diamond. That's the hardest substance. That's the carbon that has become so tight, packed, that it becomes diamond. The nichla b'zehamin even toiv diamant, shehu ageshem ayesachazak v'koshem mikolak shomim aydoidim lanu. To split a diamond, tzarech koyach habilti mishur. Kocho hu aponim arevi shenikro hatoyrus soit. Hu inyon hanidresh bederech nifla hanister vanela min haamon hu meirov anshe mado. Ki ein legaloise rak la anshe sgula. It can only be revealed to unique people peel peh. Ki yisvad olehem dvarim kedoshim elokiyim kemaisa breishis, maisa merkova. Inyan hatzvogos b'malochim marid muskoid Hashem ashelo yiro kiim lebalei royei or haemes lamitay. These are people who are on the highest madrega and have a profound understanding of Torah, and for such people you can have the fourth level of stone, which requires an unbelievable amount of ishtadlus. V'koyach ishtadlus ha'iyun b'kmoi eila hu koyach bilti mishur. L'chein gam ha'soga boi omoik omoik hu. It's very, very deep. kiyam is asek bom belev tor for rayon kadosh noivim toich chadre levovo in yonim nifloim adein cheker hamizgabrim v'holchim b'chol eitz lefi godol koach hashtadl siyunoi ki ein keitz l'chokmas ha-toyra. Very, very beautiful and poetic expression here. He says that something happens to the person before he's able to reach the madrega of sight. He has to have an inspiration from on high. And his knowledge of Torah, coupled with his tremendous mesiras nefesh to Torah, and naturally coupled with a very high madrega of Yiras Shamayim, all combine to allow him a certain spiritual quality where then HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters and infuses him with the Havana, which he otherwise could never possibly have. The distance between what we just read and Kabbalah is the more distant than here and the furthest star in the cosmos, in the galaxies. You understand? And I cannot say it enough. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. By the way, I just want to make another observation. Somebody may want to disagree with me, but I think it's very true. If what we just learned is correct, and if what the Goyim says, that the distance between the center of the ear and the chutzis is so vast, that translated in terms of sound, it's the difference between someone talking and you hearing every word and understanding him, and hearing the merest echo of a voice, where you don't even know that a person is talking, you just hear an echo, you hear a sound, it sounds like music. If that's the difference, that if a person reduces the level of sight, that means he has reduced all of Torah. It's not pshat that he made sight the same as Pirush, or the sight the same as Remes. But Pirush and Remes is very choshev. It's not so. Everything is in its proportion. And if you reduce sight, you have reduced the entire binyan. So Mamela, your whole sense of what Torah is has to be completely and absolutely destroyed from what it should be. You cannot have a Torah that doesn't have that reach that is far beyond our comprehension. Anything that's not, is not the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on any level. And that's why, by the way, I'm very hesitant. People have this idea, they can open up a Chumash and they just had themselves a nice Suda night of Shabbos. And they sit down and they open up a Chumash and they see a Pasuk. And they have a Kasha on the Pasuk. They haven't seen Rashi, they haven't seen the Ramban, they haven't seen certainly the Ksav HaKabbalah or any of these Svarim. And they pick themselves up and they say, well, you know, I have a very interesting question. And they say what the question is. And then they think for about 30 seconds. And they say, no, but I have a very good answer. That's not a Mahalach in Torah, Rabbi said. But it doesn't stop there. People now write it to their chaverim in the emails, and people now have their blogs where they say whatever it is that's on their mind, and people come into shul the next day and say, you know what, I was mechadish yesterday. When I was a little boy, I was a big Baal Gaiva. It ended around the age of 5, but I was a very big Baal Gaiva. I was a very big Ilui, and at a very young age, I memorized all the Haftaras. I memorized all the Haftaras. Word for word. And as a baby, you know, as a little kid, so I went over to somebody in the shul, and I say to him, do you know all the Haftaras by heart? So he says to me, big Talmud Chacham, he said to me, no. He says, well, I do. Well, I do. All right, for a 5-year-old, it's not so big, or whatever it was. So he says to me, really? He says, I said, yeah. So he says, tell me the first pasuk, and he mentions whatever after it was. Tell me, and I rattled it off like that. He says, I'm very impressed. What was the pasuk before it? That's when I ended being a Baal Gaiva. The main person comes, he opens up a sefer. So the truth is, remember we had at the beginning of the shiur, so the sefer chassidim is a whole discussion of limud zchus. There is a shtick of limud zchus. You know what the limud zchus is? The limud zchus is when you're in love, you want something to belong to you. How does the Torah belong to you? You love the Eibishter and you love the Torah, and you're giving your life for Torah. What do you literally give your life for Torah and mitzvahs? I mean, really, we are mukhan and mezumah to give our life. So you want to have a kinyan in something that it's yours. What does it mean that something is yours when it's words and psukim and ideas? It means that you're a bialim on those words and psukim and ideas. I mean, it's okay to have a gorgeous sefer, beautifully bound. So some people, to make it theirs and to make it choshuv, they bind it in leather. So they take the words and they bind it in leather. That's what they're doing. They're making it their own. You know, I also have a shaychus to this. I also belong. I'm part of the club. I'm part of the membership. And it's not gaiva, because he knows that he's not the Rav, and he knows he's not the Rosh Yeshiva. And he knows that he can't say a pshat in the ktsais. He doesn't even know what the ktsais says. But in this pasuk, he has something. He has something. But you have to be so incredibly careful that that does not reduce the Torah. And that's a very difficult agenda. To have something belong to you and not devalue it is a very, very difficult dance to dance. It's a difficult trick to perform. And this is the yesod of the whole thing. Let me just finish the shtickle, and then we'll continue next week. Now, we go back to the Luchos. What was his original question that led to this entire structure? Luchos HaEvan. What's so special about Evan? So he said that Evan is the foundation principles upon which all of Tayag mitzvahs. But now he says it's even more. Hinei liyos chomer haluchos roimeis al mailas pnimius ha-Torah asher liyoker erko hitzdorech lahasagosa ishtadliyos niflois lochein bo hichiach roya ha-nemon es Yisrael lo-oiruram al mashigormu ba-avoinam la-aved hiskir lohem kam. He says that when the Moshe Rabbeinu wants to criticize Bnei Yisrael and to give them Musar, that they made the Egel, and because of the Egel they were goyrim to the destruction of the Torah, the destruction of the Avonim, he keeps talking about the Avonim. Why? Because he wants to show you what you destroyed. You didn't destroy something that is simple and easy, and you could just as well replicate it from your own mind. You destroyed something that has infinite wisdom and infinite meaning. It has all the capacities of Evan. That's what he says. Why does it say Avonim? So what would you say? Why does it say Avonim? Because there were two of them. That's why it's called Avonim. But he says there's Avonim means there are many different levels of Evan. Very interesting. So he says, Ki'aba mine Avonim, ki shem Evan hu shem asuga koilo, v'sela atzur v'chalomish, heim prote hasuga. U'bamakam acha yikrein b'loshin yochid, to teach me that all four are one. This is what the Vilna Gaon hammers away at, and you see the echo of it in the Talmud, in the Ksava Kabbalah, that even though we speak about Pirush, Drash, Remes, and Sod, in the end it's all one. It's all Avonim or Evan. Yankov Avinu wants to lie down in the Mokam Amigdash, and all the Avonim combine together. Very interesting. So he says, "Kamoshe idu b'shem Rabbeinu Hagadol Agra." You notice that when he had the Hakdama, the Chayodim that we learned last time, and he said that we are nothing to be vain about and nothing to be balei gaiva about because we are nothing. And imagine if Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus, he goes through his whole shtickle Torah, and then he has a huge parenthesis, right? But in each door, from time to time, there comes somebody that is no, that has no equal and is unique in his circumstance, in his capacity, in his kedusha, in his tara, in his yirah shamayim, in his knowledge of Torah, and he does not. And of course, those people are the biggest anavim. But he says here again the same thing. If you want to know how do I know that the Torah is really all one? Hagam that this Pirush, Drash, Rebbes, and Soy? Because the Vilna Gaon said so. That's how I know. Kamosha Eidu B'Shem Rabbeinu Agadol Agra Sha'amar Seder HaLimud Hu Milmata Lamala V'Hasoga Tancheyu Milmala Lamata Shebahavin Hasoid Alburyoy Yavin HaKoil Alburyoy Hapshat V'Aremez V'Adrush V'Hasoid. He says a very remarkable thing. The Vilna Gaon said, and we'll see it ourselves, that when you start learning, where do you start? You certainly don't start with sight. So you start with the basics. Child starts to learn. He starts Mishiyasch l'daber avim l'am de'Torah, Torah tzivah l'anu Moshe. And from then on, it's a huge journey. And as you climb, you have to increase your hishtadlus. But when you reach the pinnacle, your comprehension of everything that preceded it transforms to the level of that pinnacle. In other words, you take with you ki'ilu, when you come to the level of Sa'id, a completely renewed comprehension in everything that is below Sa'id. It's not pshat that you graduated from elementary school, so whatever you learned in elementary school remains the way it is. It's not like that. You could learn a touch of chemistry in elementary school, but then when you become a chemist and you learn chemistry of an MS, all of the elementary school ideas completely transformed into something else now. You no longer have that Havana that you used to have, because that Havana is puerile. That Havana is shtus. Because now you realize the true Havana, but the Havana of those things. So now, all of a sudden, in Sa'id, your hishtadlus to reach Sa'id is enormous. But when you reach that pinnacle, your Havana is equal to Sa'id in everything else below it. That's Milmalo Lamata. Hasoga Tancheyu Milmalo Lamata Shebehovin Hasoid Al Buryoy Yovin Hakoil Al Buryoy Hapshat Varemiz Vadushva Hasoid. Because man Shelo Yovin Hasoid Afilu Hapshat Einoi Borur. He says that if you don't know the sod, you don't really know even the pshat. Ukedisa Chutur Reb Shimon Yochai, he means the Zoyar. Mishpatim Dav Tzadik Tes. Urcha De'Eraisa Kachi. The path of Torah is such. Bekat Misa Armizus Le Berimizu. At the beginning, everything is like in a fog. It's only an intimation, a hint. Adi Yistakel Ze'er Ze'er, until he looks deeper into that light, bit by bit. The dohu drosha lebasar deiu rugel begava is galus legabe anpin baanpin ponim beponim kedain chomi de eloyin inun milin, and he sees how great the words are. Ukedain pshati de kra, and so too is the pshat kama de ihi de loyla oisfa veloyla migra filu oischad. So notice the Zaya is telling you that the yisoid is that when you reach a certain level, you begin to understand that everything in its proper place, and there's not one thing that is either less or more than it's supposed to be. But in order to comprehend that on the lowest level, you have to reach the highest level.